Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke, the book of Luke. We will be reading verses 1 through 4, and I'll read the odd number verses, numbers 1 and 3 this morning, of Luke chapter 11. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And if you found Luke chapter 11, you please stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Again, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reading this morning. Thank you so much for what we've sung about already. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for that place that you died for our sins. Lord, now this morning I pray that you'd be with the message. Lord, I pray bless the preacher as he preaches. Also be with the singing as prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sin was far too great.
There simply was no other way.
Satisfied, the debt has been paid. Satisfied, the final sacrifice is made.
And beside the name of every saint,
to live in those who died, God took the pain filled with Jesus' blood. And he wrote the word, satisfied. Finally, there is hope for man. Finally, we're freed from sin. The blood he shed for us, he made the way. Bridge that leads our hearts to Him. Only His blood could bring us life.
Only He
could pay the price. Satisfied, the debt has been paid. Satisfied, the final sacrifice is made.
And beside the name of
Jesus' blood, and he wrote the word. When he sees us, he sees his blood. We are covered by his blood. Satisfied, the debt has been paid. Satisfied, the final sacrifice is made.
And beside the name of every saint,
those who've lived and those who've died, God took the pain filled with Jesus' blood, and he wrote the word, satisfied.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate that outstanding song this morning. That's great. Prayer 101, last part, part 5. We've been looking at the model prayer that the Lord taught to His disciples between Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. And Lord willing, unless He changes my plans and my mind, this will be the last on this brief series. So let's pray together as we begin this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to satisfy our sin debt. And I pray that we would be concerned as Christians about communicating with you at the beginning of our day. Thank you for what Jesus, your Son, taught us about praying. And this matter of prayer 101, the entry level of prayer, that everybody can jump in on who's been saved. And help me today as we wrap this up. Dear Holy Spirit of God, I give myself to you. I need liberty. I need grace to help me. And we'll thank you for it. Speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. And amen. This is the model prayer. Jesus taught his followers to pray in answer to their desire to learn. I think one of the keys in this whole business is found in the three words that are recorded in verse number 1. Look at what it says there. Lord, teach us. Boy, what a great spirit. Lord, teach us. Now, here was a hunger. Here was a yearning. Here was a desire to learn how to communicate with the Heavenly Father. Now, part of our problem is we don't stop long enough to get hungry to learn anything spiritual. Nothing. We want to know the latest headlines on Fox. We want to know the sports scores. We want to know the sales at all the stores, the retail stores. We want to know what the stock market is doing. We want to know the latest post on Facebook. And that one may be more popular than all the others put together nowadays. It's unbelievable. I don't know how much time is wasted on Facebook. Wasted time. But anyway, that's another message for a time when I feel like it, all right? But anyway, we can get hungry for all that, but we have difficulty getting hungry for God to teach us anything. Now, we don't have a problem with God helping us. And that's the mantra of our prayer. And that's kind of the MO, you know, of our praying. Lord, help me. And help my spouse, and Lord, help my kids, and Lord, help my car, and Lord, help my job, and Lord, help. We don't have a problem with help. But we seem to have a problem with never wanting to learn. Lord, teach me. That's what they said to Jesus. Would you please teach us, and teach us specifically how to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Before I get into this last line of this model prayer in verse number 4, I want to just notice a couple of things that I haven't mentioned as we've been going through this series. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1 that Jesus had a certain place. Do you see that? As He was praying in a certain place. And one of the key elements of getting consistent in walking with God is to have a certain place where you pray. Now, I believe it goes without saying that we are creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit. We have a certain place that we eat at the table. We have a certain place to sit and read. We have a certain place for this activity. We have a certain place for that activity. And one of the reasons we're not real consistent in Bible reading and prayer is that we just kind of leave that up to wherever, whenever. If we left our physical food up to that same type thing, we might be better off. We don't leave our physical meals up to just whenever. It's, no, we're eating this, and we're eating this time, and this place. And one of the reasons people have difficulty becoming consistent in their Bible reading or their prayer time is just a lack of anything of a certain place to be consistent. Being consistent in a place and a time will help you. I don't know how this has affected you. Maybe it hasn't affected you at all. I would hope that it has. I believe it's been biblical, and I believe that anybody who's been sitting here will give an account someday for hearing anything that's preached biblical from this book up in this pulpit. And it's helped me. I told my wife this week, it's helped me. I used to spend the moments right after getting out of bed in just kind of a fog, and still that's it's depending on what happened the previous day, that can still be the case. But it has helped me really focus my attention. I'm talking about my immediate conscious awareness when I wake up in the morning, before I get to the coffee pot, before I get to my Bible, before I get to any other activity, I'm already in communication with my Father, my Heavenly Father, at the very forepart, the very beginning of the day. And a God consciousness helps us. Having a consistent time and place. So that's what Jesus had. Then I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that Jesus ceased praying. The Bible says, when he ceased. Now look, I do believe that you can keep a running line of communication with God all day long. I believe it was Dennis Corll that preached a message here on prayer one time, and he talked about shouldering the phone. Now, in this day and age, you don't shoulder the phone much anymore because communication devices have changed dramatically. But you talk about the old days when there was a cord. And ladies, you remember the phone that hung on the wall in the kitchen? And you got the longest cord possible, you know, because when somebody called, you answered it and said hello. And if you were busy making dinner, supper, making something for lunch, or just making something in the kitchen, or even sprucing up, you could start the conversation like this, and then you'd shoulder, you'd prop that telephone between your ear, your mouth, and your shoulder, and with both hands, you would continue to, you know, mix the meal together, mix the recipe. Fellas, I've used to do that, working with my hands, shoulder. Now you can still do that with a cordless phone as well. And that was the concept that Brother Corll was preaching about this morning. Pray without ceasing. You get God on the line in the morning and you shoulder the phone all day long. And throughout the day, you are talking to God, the Heavenly Father. And I think that's important to do. I think it's possible to do that. But I do think there ought to be a set time, now watch this, devoted to the solitude of praying. Because when you're praying and mixing ingredients, when you're praying and working with tools, or when you're praying and doing other things, even driving down the road, your concentration is broken off and on. Is it not? It better be if you're driving. And I use driving time to pray. I enjoy it. But there needs to be that time given to the solitude of prayer where there's no mixers running, there's no tools to be messed with, there's no steering wheel to turn, no remembering to turn left up here. It's just concentrating on communicating with my Heavenly Father. And Jesus had that. Okay, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, they taught him here what to pray. I hope it's helped you. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. I rejoice in who you are and where you are. I rejoice that you are high and lifted up above all that's on this earth. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. I'm glad I've got somebody on my side who's sitting high and lifted up. Your name is holy. Help me not to embarrass your name today. I'm concerned about your kingdom. Please be king in my life today. Sit on the throne of my heart. I'm concerned about your will being done on earth in my life today. I can't control what happens in Brother Caleb's life. I can't control what happens in my own kids' life. But there's one place where Jesus can rule, folks. That's in my heart. The will of God can be done in my life. And it can't be done. So, Lord, help your will to be done in my life today. Father, thank you. And by the way, I have expanded this to the place where that's a great time to pray for your kids. God, may your will be done in my kid's life today. May your will be done in my grandchild's life today. You got grandchildren. My spouse's life. And then, dear God, I acknowledge that everything I enjoy, all the food in the cupboards, the house, the roof over my head, the clothes on my back, the comfortable place to sleep, the nice vehicle to drive, I acknowledge, God, that all of it is because of your gracious and providing hand. You give me the health to labor and work. Thank you for that. And Father, please forgive me for my sin. I know in the last 24 hours since I got up yesterday morning, I know I have displeased you. I know I have, and I'm not even aware of it. I don't want any dirt in my heart. I don't want to be tarnished, Lord. I want to be clean. Please help me. And by the way, I finished the second half of last Sunday morning's message on Sunday night. You can't get what you're not willing to give. Forgive me my sin, even as I have already forgiven those. But if somebody has come to me asking for forgiveness, and in bitterness, I have said, I'll never forgive my dad. I'll never forgive my mother. I'll never forgive my daughter. If I've got bitterness in my heart, I can't get forgiveness. That's tough. That's not a good situation. And so, Lord, please forgive me for my sin. I know there were times yesterday when my spirit was wrong and I'm not even aware of it, dear God. But please, I want to start today with a clean record. Wash me, purge me with hyssop, and clean me today. And thank you, God, for forgiving my sin. That's what we've talked about so far. Now we come to the last part of this prayer. In verse number 4, the very last sentence, what Jesus taught them. Jesus said that you pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that's, folks, that is directly connected to what went before it. The previous petition dealt with my past sins. Forgive me my sin, even as I forgive those who have sinned against me. I've already asked you, God, to forgive me for the past, for yesterday, the things that are already done. But this petition deals with my future sin. Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. You see, people, I believe with all my heart that the true child of God is concerned about his walk with God, and he doesn't want to disappoint his Father. So in anticipation of the day I am about to encounter, Lord, help me today. Please, please help me not to sin against you today. This is a prayer for my protection. Father, keep me from sinful temptation. And please keep me protected from evil, the evil that is in this world, the evil that is Satan himself, the evil that is in my own flesh, my own sinful nature. Protect me, Lord, from the sinful temptations that are all around me. Listen, friend, I'm working on it right now. Here it is. It's not done. It will be done. Possibly in the next 2 or 3 Sunday nights, I'll preach this message. But here it is. It's already started. I'm working on a message along the lines of this. I'm just sick of the abuse that the doctrine of grace is taking in Christian circles today. It's this idea that because we're under grace, I can do anything. I don't have any controls. I don't have any restrictions. I don't have any boundaries. I don't have anything restricting me, any parameters of right and wrong, because you know what? I'm under grace. Listen very carefully, friend. Listen very, very carefully. A true child of God never seeks to use grace as a license to sin. If that's your attitude toward it, I question your salvation. I'm unaware of this because I don't spend time on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook page. And I'm really not interested in having one. Not at all. Dr. Tim Green, who preached in this pulpit several times, flew on a leg from some city out east to Chicago. And it was a connecting flight that had originated in Dubai and landed out east and continued on to Chicago. And he had a first-class ticket on that particular segment. And he sat beside a businessman from Dubai and who lives there. He's an American citizen, but he lives in Dubai. He's part of a conglomeration, a group of men who run a conglomeration of businesses. And so Tim's Brother Green said, "So you coming to Chicago for business?" He said, "Yeah, I'm here for a couple of days." He said, "A couple of days? You come all the way from Dubai to Chicago for a couple of days? Why don't you do it by email or by video conference or by Skype?" He said, "We do nothing by email, by Facebook, by Twitter, by text, because the government knows everything that you're doing." Now you better think about that, folks. Everything. So I got on this in that tent meeting. I preached that up in Muskegon, Michigan. I got on this whole topic of the idea that because I'm under grace, it gives me this license to live any way I please. And I talked about walking under grace, walking under grace. And the preacher came up afterwards and he said, "Man, how did you know about grace walk?" I said, "What?" He said, "Grace walk." He said, "That's the big craze in all these mega churches and these non-denominational churches and this emergent church group that's out there. That's all that they talk about is under grace, and it's walking in grace. It's the grace walk. And because I'm under grace, I can listen to rock music, man. I can drink. I can live like I want to because I'm under grace." I'll tell you something, grace is no license to sin. No license to sin. And a real born-again child of God is concerned about pleasing his heavenly Father. A real born-again child of God is not going to say, you know, well, God's going to forgive me every time I ask him. Yes, that's true, but the purpose of forgiveness is not to let us off the hook so that we can go do it again. You don't treat your kid that way. Your son or daughter comes to you and they got that look on their face and, Dad, I was so wrong. I'm so sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. Well, what'd you do? Well, I took a dollar out of your wallet. I took a dollar out of your purse. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry. No, you shouldn't have done that. I'm glad you apologized. Okay, thank you for being honest. Don't do that again. If you need something, come ask me and you're forgiven. Oh, okay. Is that okay? That's okay. But next week, the same thing. Well, Dad, I know I'm sorry. I got another dollar out of your wallet and please forgive me. Oh, that's okay, son. Just always come tell me and always apologize. And next week, no, what do you say? You say, son, I'm glad you came to see me, and I'm glad you were honest about it, but what? Don't do it again. Isn't that kind of what a dad says? Well, I'll tell you something, folks. You think our Heavenly Father is any less wise than an earthly dad? You know, we don't get forgiven so we can run back out and engage in the same sin. Run back, now, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. And I really, okay, thank you. Forgive me. That's not the purpose of forgiveness. The purpose of forgiveness is getting cleaned up so that we don't go out and do it all over again. I don't want to live like that. We should not want to let God down. The purpose of being saved, folks, is not just to be forgiven from past sin and past wrong. And being saved means being forgiven from all the sins that we do in the future. But, you know, a real true child of God does not look lightly at sin and never accepts salvation as a liberty to sin. When we baptize people up here, we say a little, you go through a little statement, you know, according to your profession of faith, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you've trusted Him as your personal Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And then we always add a little statement at the end. To walk in newness of life. Because that's the purpose of salvation. The purpose of salvation is to walk in newness of life. Under the water, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, to walk in newness of life, a new way of life, a new way of living, a new way of behavior, a new way of entertainment. This is the essence of salvation. God makes us new. Now, to what extent a person is involved in sin when they get saved, that varies. Kids that get saved at age 5, 6, and 7 usually aren't spending time at the casino. They hadn't been, you know, selling drugs. Okay? And so, but wait a minute, they're still new. And you take a kid who's never been involved in drugs, never been involved in alcohol, never been involved in gambling. I'm going to tell you something, when they get saved, they're new. Made new. And then when you take a person my age, 18 and older, who had taken sin to a great extent in their life, and you get saved, God makes you new. And yes, it may take a little time to drop all the baggage of that past sinful life. But brother, I want to tell you something. My friend, listen, the desire, the goal, the dream, the longing of our heart ought to be to serve God, live for God, and be clean and have a day where we don't disappoint Him as our Heavenly Father. And that's what this prayer is all about. I don't want to look at my salvation as a license to sin. No, I want to tap into the power that is in my salvation to not sin. That's what I want to do. We are in a whole new ball game when it comes to sin. Sin has power, but now we have power over sin through Jesus Christ. I love 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And man, before salvation, I had no power against the evil one. But now that I've been saved and the Spirit of God lives inside of me, I still don't have any power against Satan in myself. But in the Holy Spirit, I have power against Satan. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to sin. So this is a prayer for protection, spiritual protection, protection from temptation to sin, from the evil that is all around us. And that ought to be a part of our daily prayer as we start the day. Lord, please forgive me for the sin I committed yesterday. In the past 24 hours, I have done things that I'm not even aware of that are displeasing to you, and I would like for you to erase those and make me clean. And then, Lord, please help me today to live clean. Help me to live right. Help me to live obedient. Help me to live in the power of your Spirit. Protect me, O God, today. Help me to live for you. Now, some might say, well, this means that word temptation means trials or testings because God cannot tempt us to sin. And that's true. James says that. God doesn't tempt us to sin. But I will say this. God does allow Satan a wide berth to tempt us. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. You got your Luke chapter 11. Turn over to chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 this morning. And verse number 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. God cannot tempt us to sin, but He gives Satan a pretty wide berth in tempting us. Now look at chapter 22, verse number 31. Here's what the Bible says. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, talking to Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus keep Peter from the temptation? No. No, he didn't keep Peter from the temptation. Satan came after Peter, went after him, got sifted him. Let me ask you a question. Did Peter sin in the temptation? Yes. What'd he do? Denied Christ? I don't know him. I don't know him. Blankety, blankety, blank. I don't know him. I'd call that sin, folks. I don't know if y'all are with me this morning, if I'm up here swimming alone this morning, but I'd call that sin. I don't know what you'd call it. He sinned in the temptation. That's what happened to Peter. Now, I don't know about you, but I would prefer being kept from that kind of situation. I don't know if I would have fared any better than Peter would have fared. And I don't think it's wrong at the beginning of the day. I think it's healthy for you and I to pray, say, oh God, please, please keep us out of situations today that are going to bring us into great temptation. And you know what? God may allow it. God may allow Satan to bring the temptation into my life, but it doesn't hurt me to ask for protection. It doesn't hurt me at all. Not at all to ask for protection. So that's what happened to Peter. And if it's just a trial, somebody said, well, these are my trials. If it's just a test, let me ask you folks, isn't there a temptation in the trial? Here it is. Job. Satan came in a great test, a great trial to Job. Took everything Job had. It was a trial. It was a test. But you know what the last verse of chapter 1 says? In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So here is Job. He goes into this test. He goes into this trial, the trial of his faith, the test of his faith. And yet in the trial, in the test, somehow Job comes through it without sinning. And that's exactly what we're asking God for. We're asking God for help. If you bring a trial my way today, protect me from the evil that's in the trial. The evil being not so much, watch it. The evil being not so much what I'm going through. The evil being me sinning in the trial. Help me, God, because my desire is not to use my salvation as a liberty to just run out and sin and do what I want, run back to you and get forgiveness. That's not my desire. My desire is to live today clean and holy and pure and pleasing and obediently. And God, I need your help to get that done. That's what that's praying. That's what that's praying. And so that's what this little part of the prayer is all about. Now, people can get all bogged down about the word temptation. Does it mean temptation? Does it mean trial? Does it mean test? What does it mean? Let's exegete the Greek. Well, I'll tell you what, while you're busy exegeting the Greek, I'm going to be asking God for help. I think that's what I'll do. I think I'll ask God to help me today. And tomorrow morning, I think I'll ask God to help me on Monday. And then on Tuesday morning, I think I'll ask God to help me Tuesday. And on Wednesday, because I'm not interested in using my salvation as a license to sin. And by the way, that's good Baptist preaching. I've heard all these, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved, live like you want to. I've never heard a Baptist preacher say that. I've heard more preaching against sin by Baptist preachers than any other group. And that's because we're appreciative of the eternal salvation God has given us. It's not a license to go sin, friend. It creates a desire in your heart. Salvation, eternal security, creates a desire in your heart to please Him and love Him and honor Him and live for Him. And in order for us to do that, I need God. I need God's help, and so do you. I want protection from temptation. I want protection from the temptation to sin because of the evil that's all around me. I want protection from the temptation to sin while going through a trial because of its difficulty. Here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced there's no coincidences. I'm convinced there's no coincidences in the life of a believer who's really trying to serve, to live for God. I thought about this at length this week. In my own home, amongst my own children, I believe I have witnessed, in two different situations, I believe I have witnessed God putting one or more of my kids in a situation where they went as far as they could in a difficult situation and didn't displease God, didn't sin against God. But if it had gone much further, I'm not sure they would have done right. But at the very limit of their endurance, God brought deliverance. And that's what we're praying for. Folks, we're not going to escape the temptation to sin completely. You drive up 294, you got it. You drive across Interstate 80 toward Indiana, and all you see is these billboards advertising. It's like, that's how people that text drive anyway, right? It's ridiculous. Every half mile, there's an advertisement for a filthy, vile gentleman's club, which is the biggest oxymoron there ever is. You're not going to escape the temptation to sin, but do you? I really believe that God knows our limit, and if I'm seeking His help, and I really want in my heart to please Him, and I express that to Him, I believe that God will help me. When it becomes my limit, He'll take care of it. And Lord, if you send a trial my way today, I don't want to sin against you in the trial. I don't want to displease you in the trial. This is what we're praying for. We ought to be careful to ask God to forgive us for the sin, the wrong we have already committed. Because that hurts our fellowship. That strains our fellowship with God. And yet we ought to be just as concerned that we don't sin today, but live victoriously in fellowship with Him all day long. I don't know about you. I am grateful for both past forgiveness and present protection. And that's what I want to ask for. And folks, this whole thing, this whole business right here, all five of these messages, there was actually six because of the finishing up last Sunday night. But these messages are just designed to hopefully cause God's people to live with a God consciousness. Our society, our Christian society, is so numb to the things of God. Folks, you can't keep people awake on Sunday morning in church. Can't keep people awake. I could run, do somersaults, and still some people are going to sleep through church. We live with such a lack of an awareness of God and a God consciousness. What a shame. I think part of it is the world in which we live. It's so wicked. It's so vile. It's on a bobsled to hell as fast as it can go. I, as one of God's children saved and on my way to heaven, I do not want to limp across the finish line if I can help it. I'd like to run across the finish line for the glory of God. I'd like to have a God consciousness all day. Every day. Well, you're a pastor. What difference does that make? I saved the same way you were. There is no difference in a pastor and a truck driver and a mechanic and a banker and whatever else you want to call it, friend. We're God's people. And we start the day with a God consciousness, getting God on our minds and God on our hearts immediately at the beginning of the day. At the beginning. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you that you're my Father. I'm so glad I know who you are and where you are. Please, God, help me not to embarrass your name. Your name is holy. I'm concerned about your kingdom. Would you please be the king of my life today? I'm concerned about your will. May your will be done in my life today. Would you please control my thoughts? Would you control my desires? Would you control my actions? Holy Spirit, would you help me today to see the will of God done in my life today? Bless my family. Help them to live according to your will today as well. God, forgive me for my sin. Wash me and clean me. For the things that I don't even know I did wrong yesterday. I know I dishonored you and displeased you. I know I wasn't even aware of it. Help me. And then, Father, protect me today. Protect me and help me today. Help me to live for you today. To, Father, not sin. Help me to honor you and love you and obey you. In Jesus' name. And it's not just some little repeated, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's from the heart. It's communicating with my Father in heaven at the start of the day. If I get him on my mind at the start of the day, maybe he'll stay on my mind. Yes. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. When ye take this little series of messages, folks, put it into your little package, and in a heartfelt way, start your day with God every day. Communicate with your Father. Now you know what to say when you pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to look in your book and to learn. Give us a hunger, Lord, like these disciples had, a real hunger, God, to communicate, to learn how to communicate with you. And Lord, this is just the entry level. This is just 101. This is just where it begins. But Lord, it is a great beginning. Help the folks. Help me. Help us all. Lord, may we not lose the value of beginning our day with you. And I rejoice in the opportunity. Thank you for how it's helped me. Continue to help me, God. I need it. We all do. Help us, I pray.